सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यां ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदै साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः।
When Bhagavan Sri Krishna says among the trees, I am Ashwatha tree, does not mean I have to go to Calcutta to the botanical garden and see the Ashwatha tree and only then I will see God. I see him in all trees. Every tree is sitting there serving us, taking carbon dioxide from the air, putting in oxygen. When Bhagavan says, I'm among birds, I am Garuda. Garuda you cannot see. Only way you can see Garuda is after death. And that also if you happen to go to Vaikuntha. So see him in all birds. Among humans, he says, I am the king. Does not mean only the king. I am in every human. So every human, every bird, every plant, every... When he says among the Vedas, I am Samaveda, but I am also in all the books. So every book has to be respected. And that's what we do when we put our foot on a book. We apologize. So that is the idea that God is everywhere. Nice. But in this chapter, what Bhagavan has done is given us 54 examples of things that are glorious, where he can be remembered, where he can be seen. But it does not mean he is not there in things that are not glorious or things that are not. And that is what the essence we have to take from this chapter. And then he has mentioned all among the poets, among the seers, among the saints, among the sages, among the scholars. So everywhere I am, and this is my vibhuti and this is my yoga. Yoga means in an individual how I can be known. And vibhuti means the totality. Yoga, of course, has many meanings. Yoga also means when your mind is attached to God. Vibhuti also means glory. But vibhuti yoga can be interpreted as my glory in an individual and my glory in the totality. So that is how Bhagavan Sri Krishna is known. And that is how he can be found. Just as he says, among the months I am spring, so does not mean I am only in spring, Bhagwan can be recognized in every month. You can, when the beautiful rain is falling, you can see the Lord. The four seasons are required for crops to grow. You need the heat of the summer. People say it's so hot in Bakersfield, but there are certain crops that only grow well in Bakersfield. You need cold for other, you know, crops. So you need snow for water. So the point is that every season is to be remembered as God. Every time is to be remembered as God. And that is the message that we get from the 10th chapter, where God says, I am in all. I am in everything. And today is the conclusion, where the Lord summarizes what he has told us in these 38 verses. And then we will start next week the chapter number 11. So hopefully we'll finish the 10th chapter today. We have four verses left. So Shakku can please chant verse number 39, chapter 10. Yachapi sarva bhutanam.
Yachapi sarva bhutanam.
Bijam tadaham Arjuna.
Bijam tadaham Arjuna.
Na tadasti vina yatsyat.
Na tadasti vina yatsyat.
Maya bhutam characharam.
Maya bhutam characharam.
Yeah, you can please mute and all chant together. Yachapi sarva bhutanam bijam tadaham Arjuna na tadasti vina yatsyat maya bhutam characharam. Yachapi, even though, yat, this I, me, this consciousness, sarva bhutanam, of all beings. Bhuta means all beings, plants, animals, birds, fish, humans. Of all beings, bijam. Bijam means the seed. This seed, I am, aham, Arjuna. O Arjuna, I am the, even though I am the seed of all beings, but I am not only the seed, na tat asti, vina maya. So vina maya, without me, na tad asti yat syat. That means there cannot be anything vina maya, without me, any beings, bhutam, chara and achara. So bhuta we should not only understand as living beings, birds, animals, plants, fish, humans, but also the non-living, the rocks, the mountains, the rivers, the ocean, the everything I am. The buildings, everything, nothing would exist without me. That's what Bhagwan tells us. So when the Lord says, I am the seed, we have also talked about that before. He is the immutable seed, the seed that does not diminish, does not get destroyed. Most seeds, as we know, when the plant emerges from the seed gets destroyed. And then a plant or a tree comes out, and when you dig, you don't see the seed. But in the case of the Lord is ever existent on that consciousness. This whole world appears, but nothing happens to Bhagwan. That's why he says, I am the immutable seed. And Gurudev in his commentary says that when you put a seed in the ground, slowly as you water and the put fertilizer and the right kind of weather is there, the seed sprouts and the tree comes up and the roots go down. So from that unmanifest seed, the tree and the roots become manifest. So similarly, when Bhagwan says, I am the seed, what he means is I am the unmanifest form in me. The world was unmanifest. When Bhagwan Shri Krishna says me, he does not only mean me, the flute player of Vrindavan or the manifest form, but the total consciousness, Brahman. When he says I, that's what he means. So in that consciousness, the whole world was unmanifest. It was unmanifest first. and then slowly appeared. And then at the end of the creation, the whole world will become unmanifest again, go back into this total consciousness. And that happens to us every day. When we do our favorite thing, and that is sleep, what happens is all my thoughts, all my ideas, all my concepts, even my body consciousness, all that merges into this I in deep sleep. I'm not even aware of my body. I'm not aware of location, where I am. There are no thoughts. There are no dreams. There are no ideas, no concepts. And then when I wake up in the morning, then the first thought comes is this consciousness is what appears. And in that consciousness, which is always awake, but when I wake up, this I thought arises, I, and I am this ego, this individuality, I am male or female, young or old, and all those thoughts arise. And then after the I thought, all the other thoughts come. What am I going to do today? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to meet? Good thoughts, bad thoughts, happy thoughts, sad thoughts all arise, but the first thought is I. And where does that I have the locus? Where does it is focused? In this consciousness. And same thing happens in death. Also, when the individual passes, the subtle body, the mind and intellect, accompanied by the vasanas, merges into the total mind and total intellect, what is called as Hiranyagarbha. And then when it's time to take birth, then that subtle body again enters the mother's womb and takes a new body, takes a new birth, and again becomes manifest. And when the child is born, and then the first cry, why does the child cry? He says, oh God, I am back again. I thought I was done. So that is how the journey of life starts, from manifest to unmanifest, and then again manifest. And so is the story of the whole cosmos. You know, right now it is there, but after a few billion years, all the stars will run out of energy, everything will end, and the whole world will become a black hole, a huge black hole, where nothing will be there except that consciousness alone. And then after a few billion years, it is said, Brahmaji, the creator, appears, becomes manifest, and then the whole universe manifests. So that's what he says, I am the seed, but I am the seed that does not perish. And how does the creation happen? So it's said that in that consciousness, the consciousness takes the form of Ishvara. Ishvara is the creator, sustainer, and destroyer, what we call as Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, or Shiva. And this Ishvara, functioning through Maya. Maya is what? The total vasanas, the total ignorance, which is a divine creative power of the Lord. So Ishvara, the Lord, functioning through Maya, gives each one a body based on karmas and vasanas. So vasanas are said to be the causal body, which caused birth. And the kind of body I get, the kind of vasanas are also said to be ignorance. And why did you and I take birth? Because we did not know our true nature. When you have ignorance, then that is when you are born. Once you come to know your true nature as consciousness, not only intellectually know, but also abide in that knowledge, that is called Jivan Mukti, that is called realization. And such a Mahatma, such a great soul, is not born again. So that's why the only salvation for birth, rebirth, death is knowledge, Jnanam. And the knowledge can come from the scriptures and from the Guru. So listening to Swami Chinmayananda and all the other Acharyas and reading the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Lord's words, gives us the right knowledge. Talking about knowledge, this math teacher was teaching this five-year-old math, and she tells him, if you have $5 and if your father gives you $5, how many will you have? He said, $5. She said, wait, If you have $5 and your father gives you $5, how many you will have? He said $5. So she said, you don't know your math. He says, you don't know my father. He knew his math. So that's why right knowledge is very important. And that is what the scriptures give us. So the Lord says, not only I create, but natadasti vina yat syat maya bhutam sacharacharam. Without me, there will be no beings, because I not only create the beings, but I also sustain them. And everything is sustained in me. That's why we are all sustained in this consciousness. So Lord is not only the creator, but also the sustainer. And ultimately we merge back into it. Just as the ocean says, all waves emerge from me, are sustained by me, and merge back into me. So all creation is in that consciousness. So we are not separate from God. We are part of God.
Yeah.
And how does God create? It says, like an architect, just as an architect makes a detailed plan, which is perfect, and then the contractor executes. So Lord is not only the architect, but he's also the contractor, and he's also the destroyer when it is time to end. And that's why, how is God present everywhere? As existence, isness. So anything that is God. That is what one should understand. If I am that divinity. If this table is existence. This computer is, this tree is, this mountain is. That's why in the Upanishad it is said, Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. There is only one truth, one consciousness, but wise people speak of it in different ways. So the same consciousness, when it is described by Shankaracharya, it is the same consciousness described by Jesus, what he calls Father in Heaven, which Muhammad calls it Allah, Buddha calls it Nirvana. The reason these teachings appear different, because as I had said, they are given by different masters to different teachers at different times in history, in different countries, in different languages. So they appear different. So the teaching was based on the student. If the student is a beginner, then the teaching has to be simple. If the student is advanced, then he can be taught the Upanishads. So that's why the teachings appear different. And one has to understand that me minus God is nothing. Just as a goldsmith, you go to him and he will sell you a bracelet, but he says, from the bracelet, I'll remove the gold and you can have the bracelet, and you pay me, $1,000. You say, no. I'm now going to take bracelet without gold. Without gold, bracelet is nothing. So similarly, without God, you and I are nothing. So that one has to constantly remember that if I am, it is because of his presence. If I function, it is because of the Lord's presence. So everything I do, wherever I go, I can never be out of that existence. So what this shloka does, develops devotion in our heart for God, a devotion, gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness. And that's what one should do. Start our day with gratitude and end our day with gratitude. So that's why Bhagwan said, not only I am the seed, but whatever you see, moving and immoving, movable and immovable, chara and achara, all is me and me alone. That's why he says, know me everywhere. In verse number 40, Shaku can please chant. Nantosti mama divyanam. Vibhutinam parantapa.
Vibhutinam parantapa.
Esha tu desha taf proktaha.
Yete risa se proktama.
Vibhutevistaro maya.
Vibhutevistaro maya.
Together. Nantosti mama divyana. Vibhuti nam parantapa. Esha tu deshataf proktaha. Vibhutevistaro maya. So, naha anta asti. There is no end. Anta means end. Na anta asti mama divyanam. My divyanam vibhutinam. My divine glories, O Arjuna parantapa, O scorcherer of enemies. There is no end to my divine glories. But then why do we have this chapter? Esha, but Uddeshataha, just as an example, Proktaha. So these 54 examples, Uddesha means practice, example, Proktaha has been said by me, Vibhuter Vistaro Maya, this vast sea of Vibhutis, of glories of mine, Maya, has been said by me to you, O Arjuna, because you asked. Why is this teaching being given to all of us today? Because we asked. If we did not want this knowledge, we would not be logging in here today. And you and I are all here because we asked for this knowledge. And Bhagwan, in his grace, in his mercy, has manifested amongst this. That's what Jesus says. He says, wherever two people are there talking about me, I am there. So that is what the Lord says. Wherever people are discussing about me, I can be known, I can be seen. So na anta asti mama divyanam. So there is no end to my glories, but I have mentioned some examples. So when we say no end, like you ask a pot maker, you know, who has made thousands and thousands of pots, can you give us all the names of the pots and the colors of the pots and the design of the pots and whether they were cups and saucers and plates? And no, he can't. He says, I have done so many. How can I list all of them? All have different colors, different shapes, different sizes, different uses. A cup is different from a saucer, is different from a plate, it's different from a glass, from a vase. You know, they are all different. The names are different. The shape is different. The form and color is different. The usage is different. So a pot maker cannot list all of them. So that's why Bhagavan says, I cannot list all my glories, but pot maker can say, you know what, I have made a lot of cups. I have made a lot of glasses. I have made a lot of, and then maybe in his showroom, he can show you a few examples. You know, these are the examples. I've kept some of the good ones so that if a buyer comes and if he says, I want this kind of pot with this shape and color, with this design, then he can show it. So that's why they have the showroom in these shops where they manufacture. So or they have this catalog, which is the same thing, that they are showing a few examples and accordingly you can order. So there is no end to my glories. It's a very beautiful story. So it is said that when they were talking about Shiva Mahima, you know, there is a stotram called Shiva Mahima Stotram. So in our Puranas, what happens is that whichever form of God is being mentioned, that is considered as supreme. Like in Vishnu Purana, Bhagavan Vishnu is considered supreme and all the others bow down to Lord Vishnu. In Devi Puran, it is Devi. Mother Goddess is superior. And it says Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, all get their energy from her. In Shiva Purana, Shiva is the supreme. So it is said when Shiva Mahima Stotram was being composed, and they said, let us write down Bhagwan Shiva's glories. You know, here Shiva represents the total consciousness. So they said, who can write down the glories? You know, the glories of God are so many. So they asked Mother Saraswati. Mother Saraswati, because she is the knowledge, right? The wisdom. She is the goddess of knowledge. So she would know everything. So they said, can you please write down Bhagwan Shiva's all his glories? So here, of course, Shiva is considered as the total consciousness, the Brahman. So she said, okay, but I need a paper and a pen. So they said, okay, for paper, you can use the entire earth as the paper. And then, you know, you need ink, right? Because in the olden days, they had pen with ink. So for ink, you can use the entire oceans, all the oceans. So all the earth is the paper, all the oceans are the inks. And what are the pen? Pen is made of all the branches and trunks of all the trees. So that is the pen. So Mother Saraswati is writing with that kind of pen, with water as the ink and earth as the paper. And it is said this was thousands of years ago and she's still writing and she's still not done. So the point is that the glories of God can never end.
Infinite.
And that is because they are infinite. So this is a very beautiful demonstration how our masters could think and give such beautiful examples. This was so touching to me that thousands of years she has been writing and still there is no end to Bhagwan's glories. And that's what we should understand. So then he says, why only a few examples are given? So I was reading Gurudev's commentary and he says that you have to give some examples to see the totality. Like in medical school, you know, those of us who went to medical school, you get a human body to dissect. Now this person is passed away, but on that human body, we are taught how to dissect and we can see where's the liver and the spleen and the arteries and veins. Why are they showing us that through this example? Nowadays, of course, everything is virtual. I don't think they even have much bodies. But even now, I think they still do that. The medical schools still teach. So that seeing in that cadaver, liver, spleen, then you know where the heart is, where are the arteries going. So then this person, when he later on becomes a surgeon, then he can use this knowledge of anatomy that he has got by dissection and by seed. Like the skeleton, they show us as example, you know, they show us the vertebrae and the ribs and the skull to recognize. So through those teachings, you are able to then see the reality. So through these examples, we are able to see the totality in Bhagwan. So that is the essence of this chapter. Then it says that, why does Bhagwan say there is no end to my glories? Only Bhagwan can say that. You and I cannot, because we are very limited. We have limited intellect, we have limited powers, we have limited glories, we have limited knowledge, but he is the only one who is infinite, who is total. So the total body is him, the as sat. The total mind and intellect is him as chit. And the subtle body, all of them are him as Hiranyagarbha, as Maya, as Prakriti, as the creative power. So God is not only outside, but also in me as the inner controller. And that one has to constantly remember that God is the inner controller, the inner computer that is functioning, because of which you and I are able to function. So, but they say knowing God means becoming one with God. You can never know God as somebody separate. God is sitting in, you know, Father in heaven or in Vaikuntha or Kailasha or Brahma Loka. Knowing God is becoming one with God, understanding the oneness. And that is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, Advaita, where God and I are not separate. Advaita means not two. So God and I are not two, but there is only one. And that understanding is the true understanding of spirituality. That is the whole essence of the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita, that there is only one.
Jiva Brahma Aikyam.
Jiva Brahma Aikyam. That me and consciousness are one. Because the moment I say God is separate, then God is everywhere, not here. You know, then immediately you are creating a duality that God is somewhere else. And so that understanding one has to. It does not mean I am God. See, that people have to understand. What it means is that my essential nature of consciousness is the same everywhere. I as an individual, my whether it's Anil or Kerry or Varsha, I am limited. And God is all powerful. Like in Vivek Chudamani, it says, I am a little lamp, God is the sun. I am the well, God is the ocean. But the well and the ocean, what is the essence? Water. So the water is one, but it manifests as a small well and manifests as a big ocean. So that one consciousness manifests as me, a little me, and as Ishvara, the creator. But the essence is one, and that one has to understand the essential nature of me and God is that consciousness. So that is why when they, in the Upanishad they say, Aham Brahmasmi, I am that consciousness. It does not mean I am God. I am remain limited. As long as I am in this human body, I will be limited. And I always have to be pray to God with devotion, with surrender, but recognizing that the essential divinity in me is that consciousness. So that is the verse number 40. Now we'll do verse number 41. Yat yat vibhuti mat sattvam.
Yat yat vibhuti mat sattvam.
Shri madurjitam eva va.
Shri madurjitam eva va.
Tatta deva vagachatvam.
Tatta deva javakchatvam.
Mama tejomsha sambhavam.
Mama tejam satam bravan.
So together, yat yat vibhuti mat sattvam, shri madurjitam eva va, tatta deva vagachatvam, mama tejam sambhavam. So yat yat means whichever, whichever, bhuti, vibhuti, vibhuti means glory. Sattva means existing. So whichever glory you see, which exists, Shri means prosperity. Shrimat, that means prosperity. And Urjitam, Urja, Urja means power. So wherever you see anything glorious, anything prosperous, anything powerful, whatever it may be, Tat Tat, see that as Avagacha. Avagacha means know. O Tvam, O Arjuna, know that as what? Mama Tejah, of my Tejas, Ansha, a part of that Ansha, Sambhavam, existing. So Bhagavan says, wherever you see anything glorious, anything powerful, anything beautiful, anything prosperous, anywhere in the world, whatever you see is just a small part of my Tejas. Know that as a small part of my Tejas. So Bhagwan is not only there in things that are glorious, that are powerful, that are beautiful, but also when you see a lot of compassion, when you see kindness, when you see love, when you see compassion, God is there. I heard a very beautiful story. So Saint Francis is very well known in the Christian literature, was a great saint. I think we also study in our Bal Vihar about Saint Francis. They sixth, also teach about him to the sixth grade. So there's a very beautiful story about him. So he was one time going through this, he used to travel to different parts of Italy, and he entered this town of Gubbin, Gubbin, G-U-B-B-I-N, and he heard a lot of noise, a lot of, you know, disturbance. So he said, what's going on? So he saw that people were crowded, and he walked up there and he found there was a cage, and in the cage they had a wolf that was growling and screaming, and the people were all shouting around, you know, around the wolf. So he said, well, what are you guys doing? Why are you making so much noise? They said, you know, this wolf, he has been troubling us. He has killed our sheep. He scares our cows. Our children are afraid to go there. and he is very dangerous, and we finally captured him in the cage, and we are going to kill him. That's the only way to get rid of this wolf. So Saint Francis said, wait, let me talk to this wolf. And he had this ability to relate to animals and so on. So he said, open the cage. And they said, he'll run away. He said, no, open the cage. And they opened the cage, and he just looks into the wolf's eyes, and the wolf immediately becomes quiet. And then Saint Francis starts scolding him. He says, Mr. Wolf, why do you do that? Why do you scare the children? Why do you kill the sheep? Why, you know, people are all afraid of you. Don't you realize? And so he gently scolds him like you scold a child. And slowly the wolf becomes quieter and quieter, stops growling and just sits down and becomes very quiet. And he says, you want food? Okay, every day the town people, you see that tree? And he talked to the wolf. He said, under that tree, every day there will be some food for you. I don't want you harassing the town folk. And it is that from that day on, he became like a pet dog. The wolf, you know, who used to be so ferocious and killing everybody. Every day he would come, he would eat the food, and the children would play with him. And so the point is that wherever you see some compassion, where you see some love, where you see some kindness, where you see some unselfishness, God says, I am there too. I'm not only there in the glorious, in the powerful, I'm also in the good. I'm also in the people who are loving and compassionate. And how is God there? So it is said that there is a Nimit Karana and Upadan Karana. Nimit Karana means the efficient cause, and Upadana Karana means the material cause. So when people first start studying spirituality, they are said, you know, God is there up in heaven somewhere. You know, he's our Father in heaven, or he's the, you know, he's Allah there, or he's the in Vaikuntha, or, you know, Brahma Loka, and he created the world and he let it go. So that is the beginning. That means God is the efficient cause. He created the world and let it function. And then how do I reach God? By praying for love and forgiveness and remembering God, and God will have mercy on me. So that is the very simple understanding of spirituality, simplistic. As the student progresses, so that is the efficient cause, that he created the world and then left it alone. And he is somewhere sitting up there and we are here suffering. You know, that is the first understanding. Then the Upanishads tell us the second understanding is that God is not only the efficient cause, but he is also the material cause, the Upadana Karana, which means he has not only created the world, but he has become the world. So just as a pot maker makes the pot, but doesn't become the pot, right? He takes mud, and with the mud, which is the material cause, and pot maker is the efficient cause. So he takes the mud and makes the pot and then sells it. But he himself does not go with the pot. But in the case of God, he not only makes us, but he goes with us. So that's why it is said he is the Nimitta Karana and the Upadan Karana, the efficient cause and the material cause. And that's why we said whatever exists is Sat, that is God. And we can see that so clearly. Look at computers, how much they are able to accomplish. In fact, I was reading that now they are making artificial intelligence which is going to be so powerful that it's going to create its own intelligence. It's going to keep on creating and multiplying itself, and may ultimately, I don't know if it will happen or not, it's there in science fiction, but it says it may even surpass human intelligence, where it may become self-sustaining and may not need humans, and we don't know what will happen. But artificial intelligence is growing at such a fast pace that soon we may not even be able to control it. Because to control intelligence, you need a superior intelligence, right? But when that intelligence becomes superior to our intelligence, then what will happen? We don't know. But the point is that to see in the computers is a beautiful example of God's glory. Or natural wonders like the Grand Canyon, how huge and how deep and how beautiful It is, you see, all, so these are the modern examples where you can see God everywhere, in everything that is beautiful, everything that is glorious. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, only a small part of my tejas, only a small part of my energy is there in all the energy that you see in the entire universe, all the Big Bang, and you know, all the black holes and all the, you know, planets moving and the stars and the galaxies and the comets. Everything is only a small part of my energy. Mama tejo amsha sambhavam, just a ansha, just a part of my tejas, part of my energy has given energy to this entire universe. And now he will say, not only the energy but also the physical universe is a small part of me. And that he will end in the verse number 42. Athava bahunaitena.
Athava bahunaitena.
Kim jnyatena tava arjuna.
Jnyate tva arjuna.
Vishtabhyahamidam kritsnam.
Vishtabhyahamidam kritsnam.
Ekanshe nasthito jagat.
Ekanshe nasthito jagatam.
Okay, all together. Athava bahunaitena kim jnyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyahamidam kritsnam ekanshe nasthito jagat. Here you can see the frustration in Bhagavan Sri Krishna's voice. He says, athava or bahuna etena kim gyatena. How many more examples can I give? How much more can I tell you? How can I list all my glories, O Arjuna? Please understand, it is impossible for me to list. As I said, even Mother Saraswati, so many thousand years later, is still writing. So that's why he says, it's useless for me to list each and every glory of mine. Just understand one thing. Vishtabhya. Vishtabhya means I am supporting. Aham idam kritsnam jagat. Kritsnam jagat means this whole universe, cosmos. How am I supporting? Ek amshar. Ek amshena sthita jagat. This jagat is stationed in only one small part of me. That's how much this earth is.
So many lokas.
Yeah, because there are so many lokas, there are 14 worlds and there are trillions of, you know, miles of stars and billions of galaxies and everything. Bhagavan says, just a small part of me. So as we said, the individual is divinity and the total is divinity, yoga and vibhuti. And just as a math teacher, you know, math teacher, when you're studying, she's not going to, suppose she comes up with a new hypothesis, you know, the square on the hypotenuse is the sum of the square of the other two sides, Pythagoras theorem. So what she will give two or three examples. Okay, these are the examples which are solved. And she will help the students to solve them. And then she will say, okay, now there is homework. These 20 other problems, which are similar based on this same theorem, you go home and solve them. So she has given two or three examples so that the student understands the principle. And the examples will be similar, will not be exactly the same. You know, the numbers will be different, the examples will be different. But the idea is that solving, using those teachings that the teacher has given me, then I go home and in my homework, I solve all these problems. So similarly, Bhagavan says, by giving these little examples, you take them and then you see their totality, see me in everywhere. It is described very well in Purush Suktam. Padosya Vishwa Bhutani Tripadasya Mritam Divi Tripad Urdhva Udayit Purushaha Padosya Bhavat Punaha. So he says, just one quarter of me, the Purusha, has become all these 14 worlds, all this entire cosmos, trillions of, just a quarter of me. And three quarters of this consciousness is
still unmanifest,
is not even contaminated, not even touched. Even though this consciousness is homogeneous, but in a part of it, this world has emerged. It has not contaminated the consciousness. It is not that the consciousness is coming out. The consciousness is the same, but on the consciousness, this world is playing. Just as the movie theater, the screen is untouched, but on that screen, you can see blood, you can see fire, you can see smoke, you can see, you know, bombs and everything. But at the end of the movie, the screen is white, untouched. On that screen, this whole movie is playing. And one day it could be a romantic movie, second day could be a violent movie, third day could be a scary movie with ghosts and goblins, but the screen remains untouched. So similarly, on this consciousness, only a quarter of that, a part of it, quarter is just an example. This whole universe is playing like a movie, but the consciousness itself is untouched. And that's what they say, that you and I are in this movie playing whatever part has been assigned to us. So play the part to the best of your ability, whatever part has been given, but never forget that my true nature is divine. I am that divinity, so never ever forget your true nature and play whatever part has been given, just as an actor, you know, plays whatever role. Shah Rukh Khan is there, or whoever, whatever role he has been given, he plays, but never forgets his true nature. Sometimes he gets the role of a beggar, sometimes he gets the role of a king, but never forgets his true nature. So same way, you and I, whatever... whatever role we have been assigned, we play, but never forget, who am I really? So that is why this consciousness is said to be supporting, all-pervading. So consciousness is not only supporting, but consciousness is also pervading, has also entered. And then Gurudev in his commentary gives a very beautiful meaning of Jagat. Jagat we understand as this visible world, you know, dunya, what we call this world I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and we think that is Jagat. No, Jagat is not only the physical world, but also the world of all emotions of all beings, all humans, animals, birds, plants, everybody has emotion. So all emotions and all ideas, all thoughts of every being. So not only the physical bodies, but the emotions, the ideas, and the equipment, the mind and intellect equipment, the vasanas, everything is that one consciousness, that is Bhagwan. And that's what Gurudev says, Jagatsi iti Jagat. Jagatsi means that which is constantly changing. And that is the one thing that in the world, change is the changeless law of nature. Gurudev had one place he says, change is the changeless law of nature, where what it means is that everything in this world will change. So if things are happy, it will change. If things are sad, also it will change. If things are good, it will change. If things are bad, it will change. Everything will change, but that consciousness. So that's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna repeatedly says again and again, sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha man ap man yoho shitoshna sukha dukkheshu sama sanga vivarjitah. So he says, my true devotee, in the 12th chapter, Bhagavan says, is one who remains balanced, sama. Otherwise, what happens to us? Oh, if it is hot, we start complaining. And if it is too cold, we complain. Heat and cold is meant to be there. If you are living in Bakersfield, it's going to be 110. There is no need to complain. Just put on the air conditioner. If it's cold, put on a jacket without complaint. And same thing in joy and sorrow. You know, there is going to be joy and there will be sorrow. There will be some who are friends and some who don't like you as much. There will be sometimes success, sometimes failure. So remain sama. That is called sama. That is called equanimity. That's why Bhagavan says, samatvam yoga uchyate. True yogi is one who remains balanced in health and ill health. Today we are healthy, tomorrow we may not be. So accept that. That is the nature of this world. The world is imperfect. And what our problem is, we are looking for perfection in an imperfect world. If only that thing was okay, then I would be happy. If that thing will become okay, something else will become wrong. So accept that and remain balanced and never forget God and never lose your love for God and devotion for God and surrender. God, it is because of you that is everything happening. So surrender is very, very important. The idea that I, me and my is somehow somebody special or separate from God is the beginning of ego, is the beginning of foolishness. So surrender to God, remember Him, and constantly be in the presence of God. And that is the true understanding of this 10th chapter. And that's what Bhagavan says, that there is no end to my glories, but I have given a few. And wherever you see anything beautiful, remember that that is only a part of my glory, a part of my urja, a part of my energy. And that will end today. And if we have some comments, if we can, and then we'll do the Om Tat Sat afterwards or before. Okay, we can do the Om Tat Sat. Shaku, you can repeat.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do the ending. We are always end with these words which indicate the chapter is ended. So, Om Tat Sat Iti.
Om Tat Sat Iti.
Shrimat Bhagavat Gitasu.
Shrimat Bhagavat Gitasu.
Upanishatsu.
Upanishattu.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Yoga Shastre.
Yoga Shastre.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade.
Vibhuti Yogo Nama.
Vibhuti Yogo Nama.
Dashamo Dhyayaha.
Dasamo Adhyayaha.
Okay, we can all chant together if you can please move. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Vibhuti Yogo Nama Dashamo Dhyayaha. So Om Tat Sat. Om Tat and Sat are God's names. Om is the total consciousness. Tat means that consciousness which is Sat, which is existence, which is that and this both iti. In this way, thus, in the Upanishad of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita means the respected, honorable, the venerable Bhagavad Gita, the glorious Bhagavad Gita, the glorious Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavad Gita, which is a Upanishad, so Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Upanishads. So in the Upanishad, which is presented as Bhagavad Gita, and which is the Brahma Vidya, which is the eternal ancient knowledge which has Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji has brought to us. So Brahma Vidyayam, in the Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastra, it is not only the knowledge, but how we can apply the knowledge. It is the science of yoga. So this knowledge and its application, both are given in the Bhagavad Gita. And what is the Bhagavad Gita? It is a Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvadaha. It is a dialogue between Bhagavan Shri Krishna and Arjuna. So we should take this as not a dialogue only between Bhagavan and Arjuna, but a dialogue between Bhagavan and me. So every word of this Bhagavad Gita is being told to me. It's not that we should watch like a play okay, there in Mahabharata, you know, there was Bhagavan Shri Krishna, and Arjuna was confused, and he's clearing Arjuna's delusion. No, he is clearing my delusion. So this samvada is not only between Shri Krishna and Arjuna, but between Shri Krishna and myself. And every word of this Gita has to be applied in our life. Like somebody was telling me, oh, he went to this doctor's office and there was this beautiful saying on the wall and he repeats it. But then I said, but you are repeating it, but have you brought it into your life? You know, so that is the we should not just read on the wall and appreciate, are wah wah, bahut achha hai, bahut achha. Or people send each other on WhatsApp these beautiful messages. They see it and they forward it without even understanding. If you are forwarding, first you have to live it and understand it before you forward. So the idea of this teaching is not only to understand it, but to live it. So Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, the dialogue between Bhagavan Krishna and Arjuna. And what is the name of this chapter? Vibhuti Yoga Nama, the glories of the Lord. And it is the Dashamodhyaya. It is the 10th chapter. So here we end the 10th chapter, which is called Vibhuti Yoga, where we have heard the Lord's glories and seen how God is everywhere, one in many. And as we had said last time, in 10th chapter, God is one in many. And in the 11th chapter, we will see many in God. Here we say how God is in everything. And the 11th chapter will see how everything is in God. It's a very, very beautiful chapter, very inspiring. So we'll start that next week. So are there any questions or any comments? Yeah, Raji.
One of the earlier verse, I think, I believe it was 39, where you mentioned the Jivan Mukti.
Right.
You know, once you know your true nature, you know, you can free yourself of birth and rebirth. That know your true nature, would you kind of expand on that? That could be a relative thing.
Yeah.
What I see it as what you see it.
Right. There is a relative eye.
Yeah, it's a good question. There is a relative I, which is I'm Anil, I'm different from Rajiv, I'm different from Harsha, different from Kusum. So that is the relative I. But there is an absolute I, which is only one, and which there is nothing relative in that, which is the absolute, which is eternal, which is unchanging, which always was, is, and always will be there. There was never a time when, that's why in the second chapter he says, there was never a time when you and I were not there, he tells Arjuna, and there is never a time when you and I will not be there. So the absolute nature is one. And that is unchanged, that is not. And so one has to realize that my relative nature, this ego, this I, which has a name, form, is one and it is changing. That is the relative nature. But the absolute nature will never change. Just as the gold is absolute. Now from gold you make a bracelet. And then you don't like the bracelet, so you take to the goldsmith and he melts it. And from the goldsmith, from the bracelet, he makes a necklace. The name and form has changed. From bracelet, it has become necklace. But the gold is the, in that example, gold is the absolute nature. Name and form will change. Bracelet you put on the arm, necklace you put on the neck. The mud remains the same, but whether it's a pot or whether it's a saucer or a cup or, the name and form can change, but the mud remains the same. Even when the pot is created, the mud is the same. If the pot falls down and breaks, nothing happens to mud. So in that example, mud is the absolute, pot is the relative. So when I understand my absolute nature as Sat, Chit, Anand, as consciousness, existence, and infinitude, then such an individual, he walks and talks in the world just as you and me, but he knows or she knows that it is a play and whatever role this person does, but understands that I am of the nature of infinitude. And that's why these Mahatmas, it said Raman Maharishi, they could do surgery on his body. He said, you want, he had some tumor. They said, we have to put you to sleep. He said, no, you can operate because I am not the body.
But not necessarily.
I'm not saying that. You know, it's not that these people don't get hurt, but they are able to disidentify with the body. Like Ramakrishna Paramahansa had this throat cancer, which was very painful, but he never lost track of his true nature. So these people also will go through pain and, you know, all those things happen, but they know that this is not me. What is happening to this body. What is happening to this mind. And so they say to such a person, even if you insult him or even if you say anything, he says it's happening to the body. I was listening to Swamiji. He says, in the past, if somebody said one thing, I will say two things back. But once this person has realized and is known his true nature, he says, you are saying something, you are saying to this body. Then he has no reactions. He remains calm in all situations. And then that person, once he has realized, the only reason we take birth is because of ignorance, not knowing our true nature. Once you know your true nature, then you become one. Actually, even now we are one with that infinite, but we don't know it. Once you know that and you abide in that, it's not only knowing, but also living in that understanding and constantly being in that. That is called Jivan Mukti, where this person knows, and then it's not that he functions any differently. He still has to take a bath, he still has to eat, he still has to walk, he still, when he goes, you know, for a passport, he has to put his name and all that. He functions, but inside he knows that that is not me. This is a role I am playing, and he remains in his bliss. He remains always in the inner bliss, even though outside he may play whatever role he has been assigned. If he goes to a funeral, you know, he will cry, he will be, you know, with the others, he will show expression of sympathy and compassion, but inside he remains undisturbed, even whether birth or death and all those situations. So that is Jivan Mukti, to remain abiding in this knowledge. And then there is also Videha Mukti, where then this, some people, where they have evolved to such an extent that they go to Brahma Loka. They don't go to the lower heavens. They go to Brahma Loka, which is called Videha Mukti. And that there in Brahma Loka, Brahmaji trains, teaches these people, and then they become one with that consciousness. So that is Videha Mukti and Jivan Mukti, or Krama Mukti it is called.
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Kerry? You have anything? You are unmuted.
No, I've already been given an awfully lot to wrestle with. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Anilji, I don't have any questions or comments, but I have a question, and not a question, but a little trouble in 21, end of 21 and 36. We know that God is infinite glory, so we cannot count numbers.
Right.
These numbers are just given for us to, like, given examples, and then we have to contemplate on that. But 21 says 75 exercises.
I'm 54, so I
couldn't count. I tried to count, see what he's counting, but I could not differentiate. So I said, no, I know it's innumerable, so it is not, but it's so... goes in my mind that I need to find out.
Right. I think I haven't counted either. Maybe we can sit and count one by one. But the idea is whether it's 75 or 54. It is a few examples have been given by Bhagwan. Maybe we should sit and count. I think it could be
21,
a misprint. 21?
21
and 36.
21,
yeah,
at the
21,
end of 21 and 36. It says 75 items, and they both are for contemplation.
Right.
It's not something different. So I was just thinking how, you know, maybe I have to reread again.
I think we can just sit down and count. I think it might be a misprint.
Commentary.
Misprint. Yeah, commentary probably is just a misprint. It's okay. There are a few words misprinted anyway. So, but anyway, the idea is that there are a few examples. And
infinite glories.
Infinite glories, but a few examples have been given.